The Fallen was Murray Mack.
Oh, brother. Really, I would say typical. Typical. Really a type. There is something basically needful in a person who would become a fallen woman. I think you understand what I mean by that term, a fallen woman. All society branded her a fallen woman, worthy to be stoned if the evidence could only be found. A fallen, sinful street. There was something in her fallen, fleshly nature that was really totally twisted. I have doubt. That was one thing. A real need was there that would produce such a woman. One more thing. What else besides that? She was possessed by demons. I don't know what it takes to be possessed by a demon. I don't plan to find out. But there was something really, really wrong with a girl that would allow herself into this. Some missing thing, a need, and a greater one that would allow a demon to inhabit her. How many demons? Seven. How many is seven?
Oh.
Perfect. She was utterly possessed by demon. Satan need not send eight. Seven makes it complete. Perfectly possessed. I don't think you think too highly of Mary Magdalene in the state I just described. Please listen to me. Everything I tell you this evening, I have the deep impression. This I cannot prove from the scripture, so I will only tell you. I have a deep impression that Mary Magdalene stands there for us, for you and for me, as a picture of all for all eternity to the love of Jesus Christ. If it could all be summed up in one person, it would be summed up in Mary Magdalene. When you look at her, what would she remind you of? Anything? Say it. Who said that? Thank you. Come on, sister. I wondered if anyone would know the answer to that. What does she remind you of? She is a perfect picture of Israel. What is she? A harlot. Utterly sold to sin and Satan. Israel, God's chosen bride, utterly sold to sin and Satan. A harlot. You got to get the answer to this down in your inmost being. Was such a creature worse to thee, the bride, the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ? Was she or was she not? You need not answer. Was she more worthy or less worthy than you? Neither.
No.
Then what?
More, right?
Neither more nor less. Then what?
Than me.
Why? If she wasn't more than you nor less than you, then she was the same. As worthy or as unworthy as you. As unworthy as you. No more and no less. He left with Mary Magdalene walking the street. Was she noble? Was she wise? Was she well educated? I ask you, was she religious? Was she holy? Was she pure? Was she a virgin? The answer has got to be no. She was a fallen, sinful creature.
She believed. She just flat-footed stood up on her hind legs and believed. She believed that she was forgiven and that she could go in total, absolute peace, and that she was as pure and as holy as any creature that ever lived. And she didn't believe it one morning and not the next, and one day and not the next. She really believed that she was worthy of loving Jesus Christ. Now, what did it do to her? Make her go out and sin again? She stood there over his feet and soaked them in her tears. She knelt beside those feet, and if you can't see anything else for the next 2 or 3 weeks, I would like for you to see that little girl kneeling there, kissing the Lord's feet. I told you the other night, the Greek said, and she kept on kissing and kissing. Consider that scene. Did she love him? Yes or no?
Will you keep all of that in mind? That girl believed.
She believed what Jesus Christ said of her state, that she was forgiven and that she could go in our peace. And what did she do?
She went. Where? Where did she go?
Brothers, I believe it is John 7 that records her being forgiven. And it's at the end of the chapter, maybe it's 6. My goodness, I've forgotten. Don't quote me. It's at the end of some chapter in the book of John.
The next chapter begins by saying that there were, along with the 12 disciples, a small group of women, a Mary, a Martha, another Mary, and Suzanne, and Joanna, a spy, who followed the Lord Jesus Christ wherever he went for 3 years. Now, listen. There were 12 men who lived 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for 3 years in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there were also 5 women. What were those 12 men called?
Called apostles. They were the apostles.
What were the women called?
Didn't have any name.
Well, you listen. 12 disciples got up and started right behind Jesus. 5 little gal, little lady, little women, gathered up their little belongings and went right along with them. And they kept their eyes on the Lord Jesus. And when the 12 sat down and he taught them, there were 5 little lady, 5 women right there listening to every word. Who was one of them?
Mary Magdalene. When he said go, where did she go?
Right behind. And she never left his side.
I want to ask you one more time. Did she love him? Very much. With a blind passion, she loved him. Was she intelligent?
Was she smart? Was she well educated? Do you think she was theologically apt? Then tell me, what did Mary Magdalene have going for her?
What?
She blind. Just blind. Just blindly blocked him. She had three things going for her. One, she had been forgiven. Of how much? But a whole bunch. She allowed the Lord to forgive her. Brother, come and say, Lord, do a big job. Forgive me of so much. Forgive me of so much till it breaks my heart. Till I just adore and love you. Forgive me of so much. And then go in peace. How long go in peace? Do you sin the next time? Brother, that's not being forgiven of much. That's being forgiven of. Forgive. Be forgiver of a whole lot. And then do what? Go in peace.
Where go in peace?
Follow him how much?
All the time.
And what do you do for you follow?
Say it, brother.
Love him. Love him how much? A little bit? How much do you love him? How much do you love him? Say it. Say it.
All right, I'll put it all together. Love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And with all your strength, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your might.
Did she do that?
What kind of a woman was she? Fall. What kind of a woman was she? Forgive them. What kind of woman was she? A woman who went in peace. What kind of a woman was she? She followed him and never lost sight of him a moment. And she let him keep on
being the one who forgave her much. This is the one who came to the tomb. Are you impressed with her? What is she? To me, she is a type, she's like Israel. Can you see her as being just exactly like Israel? You know who else she is? She is the product out of whom Jesus Christ was left with to get his bride. That's the kind of material he had to work with to get his bride. Do you think that repels him? Why did it not repel him? He was far more holy than any other man who ever lived. Yet many men would have said, I would not touch her. Yet it is from this type person, I would even say, from her, he will have his bride. How could he do such a thing? Because the love impelled. Who is she most like? She is most. She is most like you.
Now, that's one half of the story.
3 a.m. is when it began. Here's the other half. It's the greatest love story ever told. Praise the Lord.
It's just right before dawn. Not sunup, but dawn. Dawn is beginning to come.
Step inside the tomb with me.
Here is a body. Totally, utterly, completely dead. It is a slain man.
Suddenly, brothers, I believe. If we know our scholarship, and we probably don't, this could easily be wrong.
But probably, possibly, this is what happened. He is wrapped in a certain kind of grave cloth. His body is not resting there in a toga, but it is wrapped, as Lazarus was wrapped. And you remember what he said when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? What did he say? He said, cut him loose and let him free, because he was wrapped in these things. Brothers, suddenly, the grave clothes begin to leave. And as I said, if you've never seen a dead person dead, untouched by any cosmetics, it's
from to a perfect race. Now they're going to give that banished race a name. The one that had banished, the archaeologist who did a lobo him, what are they going to call him? That man that used to run around here, you remember? The old one. The old one. The old man. Now, is he there? Is he gone? Yeah. Banished?
Yeah.
Who went with him?
The old pig.
Please tell me who went.
Those whom God did not love. Those whom God could not love.
He has. While he was on the earth for 3.5 years, he had penetrating eyes. He could see then. But I tell you, on the day he rose from the grave, he could really see what was real. But even in the 3.5 years, he could see that the old man was already dead.
Do you recall the incident? When one of the fellows said, "All right, I would follow you in the Lord," said, "Okay, come follow me now." He said, "I must go follow, bury my father in the Lord." Said, "Let the dead bury the dead. Let those who have already died and banished from the earth, let them go bury the rest of that species." I don't think I got my point over. I really think you didn't understand. He could see the human race already disappeared before it is vanished. For he had the eyes of God. While he walked on this earth, brothers, frankly, he could look in such a way and he didn't see any of them. They were dead.
Then what could he see? He could see those who would soon be according to his own species. He could see those who were to be his.
His love, his bride, his wife.
Now I want to ask you one more thing.
I'm going to ask you again. Had mankind vanished from the earth?
Yes or no? Please say yes. Does that include you? Is that what God believes? What do you believe?
Believe what God believes. Oh, brother, I beg you to believe what God believes.
One other thing. How much love was in him?
Please listen. When he came up out of that racked garment,
he was the first
of the new creation.
He was a new species.
Now, he had lived all eternity alone.
He had lived 33 years on this earth. There wasn't another like him.
But now he rose from the grave. Is he God?
Are you sure? I want to tell you something.
He glanced at himself. Now, is he perfect? Is he? Was he the first of a new creation? Can I say he was the first of a new species?
Would there be many more to follow him?
Yes.
And yet, in a way, only one more to follow him. And yet, many. We'll get to that maybe one day, some other day, but we'll say many more follow him. Would that race be perfect? What if... Is he perfect?
Brothers and sisters, Ward, cover me. The race will be perfect.
Sinless and holy. Do you believe that? Pure, holy, flawless, without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. Utterly, totally perfect. As perfect as God.
And I will say to you, more perfect than God. For God was flawed.
His spirit had never sinned. His soul had always been transformed. It kept up with his physical growth. His body had never known sin, and now he stood here with a transfigured body.
The body that is supposed to be perfect.
And there is a cross his side. A scar.
He is not perfect. He is flawed.
How long will that scar stay there?
For all eternity. Your life will bear a scar. I ask you, will his bride bear a scar?
Not yours.
The love for one. The love that I have a coward. If one of the two must be blemished, for all eternity, he would carry it. In order to have a wife, he was willing to be scarred forever. Out of his love for you, when he fell in love with you before the foundation of the earth, he was scarred to make that love consummate. An experience between
you and him.
I want to follow my faith and say, my God, if I want, how much you love.
Then he loved himself.
You
will never carry the mark of the fall.
Nor will there be any sign on you of the great cataclysmic thing that happened when God divided. The scar of the fall and the enormous cataclysmic event of God being divided. That mark remains on him alone.
Now I ask you, does he love you? Yes or no? Very much? With a passion he loves you.
Do you believe that? Do you believe it?
What do you think the Lord thought then when he saw that scar?
He stood up. I'm sure the first thing he did was to look at the scar. What do you think he thought?
It's worth it.
Why is it worth it?
Because why?
He will have his bride. Now, he looked. The scar was there. What did it mean? She was out there somewhere. She was out there. Was she perfect? Was she pure? Was she holy? Was she spotless? Did he love her? With a passionate love.
She now existed.
And quite frankly, they were the only two things in the universe that did exist.
I tell you a funny thing, brothers. Please get the eyes of God. Get those eyes.
Do you really believe that there was nothing out there but Jesus Christ and his bride?
Do you believe that?
I want you to know it's the absolute truth.
You tell me. How many people saw Jesus Christ when after he rose from the dead?
How many?
500. Why not thousands? Why not hundreds of thousands? Did he not walk around? Why did they not see him?
Because they weren't there.
Do you understand that the only people who saw him were those who existed? Only those who he saw that existed. And the only people who existed were those who had, with all their heart, believed.
There were 500 of them. And they saw him.
Tell you, he is a narrow-minded God. He said the rest were gone, and they were gone. He said sin was gone, and it was gone. He said the enemy was bided, he was bided, nullified. He said sin was gone, it was gone. He could not say anything. But one thing, what did he say?
His bride.
Are you impressed?
Who could see him? Those who believed in him.
His wife could see him.
Did he love her?
Passionately? I think the evidence would say he loved her.
Okay.
Story gets exciting.
He stood.
There was the tomb, the rock in front of the tomb. He's inside.
What does the Lord want more than anything else in the world right now?
His wife. What do you think he did when he got to that stone? He kicked it out of the way. Don't think he kicked that out of the way, brother. He didn't kick it out of the way. He didn't bother to wait that long. He walked right to it.
That was the God part of him. Just like the God part came up out of the grave, but the napkin came off of humanity. He went right through it. And after he went through it, in the earliest cracks of dawn, two angels came and pushed it open as an exhibition to the world, an exhibit to the world. I want to ask you, who got there first? Who got there first. And what did she see?
A stone rolled away.
She saw an empty tomb. What did it mean to her?
Out of her deep love for the Lord, she had not seen what had just happened. Her heart was broken. The one whom she loved had been moved. Heartless men had moved his body. She took off for Simon Peter and John and said, "Oh, please come to the tomb. They've taken away his body and I don't know."
That "I don't know" means that that little girl had taken absolute responsibility for Jesus Christ. And she was simply going for someone to help her find the body. She had elected herself custodian of a dead God. They came to the tomb. One looked in, one ran in. They both came out. They didn't know what to think. What did they do?
They went home.
What did Mary Magdalene do? She went to the last place she knew Jesus Christ had been, and that's where she was going to stay. And she started weeping.
Boy, that girl could cry.
And she looked up, and there were two men dressed in garments like she had never seen garments before. But she's simple. She wasn't theologically an expertise. She didn't know what that meant. She looked up, and there they stood, and they said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And listen to her words again. "They have taken away the body of my Lord, and I don't know where they laid it." That's all she said.
That was enough.
For her, that just was everything that needed to be said.
"I don't know where."
I can't describe to you the meaning of those words. That little girl was saying, "You see, please don't blame me
for not taking care of him. The only reason I'm not caring for him as I should is I don't know where they put him."
She was so clear in her mind where she ought to be at that moment that she didn't know where he was. And she just kept on weeping.
Where was Jesus Christ?
"I don't know. May the Lord forgive me. I think he is out looking for his wife. But the Lord could never miss an opportunity to bring out a truth. You remember when his mother looked straight at him and said, 'They're out of wine.' He knew that they had run out. Something to drink.
But he took it on the highest level. And he said, 'Woman, don't talk to me that way. My time's not yet.'" What was he saying? He heard her on the highest level.
And that was the level that, yes, Israel and all the world had run out of spiritual wine.
And that he was the new wine. He said, "Woman, don't talk to me that way. My hour to be the new wine has not yet come." Now the Lord was like that at the tomb. There was Mary in the tomb, or at the door of her. And here was the Lord out here. What had the Lord Jesus discovered? What did he see that he had never seen before?
Brothers and sisters, God had a mate. For the first time in eternity or time, he looked at someone that was like him. Now I ask you, through the eyes of God, what did he see?
He saw a divine woman
Did she love him? Did she? Was she at that moment truly part of the bride of Jesus Christ? With no lacks? Do you believe that? Was she forgiven? Absolutely no. She was not forgiven. I said at the beginning of this message, brothers, positional truth has got to go. And so has the finished work of Christ. Please hear me out. Do you think Jesus Christ was standing there at that moment thinking about the finished work of Christ? Do you think he looked upon her as a forgiven sinner? This is the little girl who had seven demons and who was a harlot, whom I forgave. Is that what he saw? What did he see?
A divine work.
He saw his counterpart, someone after his kind. Finally, he was not alone. And he asked her, "Woman, what are you looking for? What was she looking for? She was the real Eve. What was the real Eve looking for when God had finished building her? She looked and she said, with tears streaming down her face, blurry eyed, "Oh, Sir Gardener, if you have taken the body of my Lord, just tell me where it is, and I will go get it." What an incredible word! How could a little girl go get a dead corpse? She wasn't caring about physical ability. She loved him.
Lord, you said I'm beautiful. I'm not going to argue the point anymore. I'm beautiful. You can't see that I am a fallen man. You're no longer capable of that. I see it. I feel it. I know it. But Lord, I am just going to stop being bothered by it. I'm going to take your view, and when I get to taking your view, I'm going to forget your view. And I come to the heart of the matter. I am not here to be a forgiven sinner. I am not here to know that I have been made by. I have been made for. Today I sin, but Lord, for your sake, I must not let that get me down. In some amazing, incredible way, it doesn't bother you. You had become blind to the old speech. Lord, you want one thing out of me, just one thing. You want me to stand here and that you love me. Why, Yeba? I am black. You cannot. I am beautiful. You want me more than anything in the universe. And although right now, you've got me. Ward, you have forgotten everything. I forget everything.
love me through what you wish me.
The first night I brought this message, one of the sisters prays, "Lord, I am not worthy of this vow." That gotta go.
That's gotta go.
I heard someone pray, "Lord, teach me to love you and receive your love." That gotta go. I don't know if you can hear my words. Listen one more time. There is no more future. There is no more saying, "Lord, teach me to love you," or "teach me to receive your love." There is no more, "Lord, my sinfulness." There is only one thing, and that is the point. The Lord Jesus Christ, the most frustrated lover of all the angels, is looking for someone who will turn around and say, "Lord, I am blind to what I know and what you don't know. I forget that you've made a great mistake. Lord Jesus, I believe. Lord, I believe you must wait. Lord, right. I open my being to him. I embrace you. I
say to you, I mean.
I don't know everything on the Lord far, but I know this is only far. It's like he was waiting for someone in this verse daring to be so daring as to believe the absurd. To believe the ridiculous. To dare to believe what he sees. In that moment, he gets to the buy. Brother, either he is God or he is. And either he loves you or he doesn't. Either he died for you and it is finished or it isn't. Either you are a holy, precious, beautiful, flawless, blameless, perfect, glorious virgin in his eyes, or you are not. Either he wishes to pour out his rug upon you right now, or he doesn't.
And it is so easy to find out.
Ye come by. Or I wouldn't believe that you are filled with love to me and you're looking for a woman to love and that I am that girl. Then Lord, let love begin. And then let love begin.